Won't Nine be mad if he wakes up and we're not there?
What is he, our babysitter?
Eight cracks merrily, reaching out to shake me gently by the shoulders. Loosen up! Let's be tourists for a couple of hours. Gazing down from the windows of Nine's penthouse never gave me a real sense of how truly busy the streets of downtown Chicago are. We exit into the midday sun and are immediately hit with a wall of noise, people talking, car horns blaring. It reminds me of the marketplace back in Spain, except times 1,000. Eight and I both find ourselves craning our necks upward, trying to take in the buildings that tower above us. We're walking slow, people shooting us annoyed looks as they're forced to cut around us. It's a little intense for me out here. All these people, the noise. It's way more than I'm used to. I find myself slipping my hand into the crook of Eight's elbow, just to make sure we aren't accidentally separated and lost in the crowd. He smiles at me.
Where to? He asks.
That way, I point, picking a direction at random. We end up on the waterfront. It's much more peaceful here. The humans, wandering around the shore of Lake Michigan, are like us. Not in a rush to get anywhere. Some of them sit down on benches eating their lunches, while others jog and bike by us, exercising. I feel suddenly sad for these people. So much hangs in the balance, and they have no idea. Eight touches my arm gently.
You're frowning.
Sorry, I reply, forcing a smile. Just thinking.
Less of that, he says with mock sternness. We're just going out for a walk. No big deal.
I try to put the doom and gloom out of my mind and act the part of a tourist, like Eight said. The lake is crystalline and beautiful. A few boats lazily cutting across its surface. We amble by sculptures and outdoor cafes, Eight taking an interest in everything, trying to consume as much of the local culture as possible, and cheerily trying to get me interested. We stand before a large silver sculpture that looks like a cross between a satellite dish and a half-peeled potato. I believe this human work was secretly influenced by the great Lorik artist Hugo von Lohr, Eight says, stroking his chin thoughtfully.
You're making that up.
Eight shrugs. I'm just trying to be a better tour guide.
His easygoing enthusiasm is infectious, and soon I'm wrapped up in this game of making up silly stories for the various landmarks we pass. When I finally realize that we've spent more than an hour on the waterfront, I feel guilty.
Maybe we should get back, I tell Eight, feeling like we're shirking our responsibilities, even though I know there's nothing for us to do but wait.
Hold on, he says, pointing. Look at that. From the hushed way Eight speaks, I expect to see a Mogadorian scout on our trail. Instead, following his gaze, I see a chubby older man behind a food cart selling what's advertised as Chicago-style hot dog. He hands one off to a customer. The hot dog is covered in pickle and tomato slices and chopped up onions barely contained in the bun.
That's the most monstrous thing I've ever seen, Eight says.
I chuckle, and when my stomach suddenly growls, that chuckle turns into a full-on guffaw. I think it sort of looks good, I manage.
Have I mentioned that I'm a vegetarian? Eight asks, staring at me with mock revulsion.
But if it's the frightening mess of a Chicago-style hot dog you desire, then so it shall be.
I've never thanked you properly.
Eight starts towards the vendor, but I grab him by the arm and drag him back. He grins at me.
Change your mind?
What do you mean you never thanked me properly? I ask. Thanked me for what?
For saving my life in New Mexico.
You broke the prophecy, Marina.
Cetricus Ra put his sword right through me and you brought me back to life.
I can't help blushing and looking down at my feet.
It was nothing.
It was literally everything to me. I look up, putting on my best version of 8's teasing smile.
In that case, I think I deserve more than a gross hot dog.
8 clasps his hands across his chest like I've wounded him.
You're right. I'm a fool to think my life could be traded for a hot dog.
He grabs my hand and gets down on one knee, pressing his forehead to the back of my hand.
My savior, what can I ever do to repay you?
I'm embarrassed, but I can't help laughing. I shoot apologetic looks to the people around us, most of them staring at 8's display with curious smiles.
We must look like just two normal teenagers to them, goofing around and flirting.
I pull 8 back to his feet and, still holding his hand, continue on down the lakefront. The sun winks across the surface of the lake. It's not quite the sea I was named for, but it's beautiful all the same.
You can promise me more days like these, I tell 8.
He squeezes my hand tightly.
Consider it done.
8 and I finally come back to the penthouse, our bellies full of greasy Chicago pizza. We've still got hours before 4 and 6 arrive in Arkansas, and Ella never sent up any telepathic alarm. Everything is just as we left it. Except 9 is awake, and standing so close to the elevator door that we almost crash into him when we enter. 9 doesn't move when we come in. He just stands there with his arms crossed over his chest and glares at us.
Where have you two been?
Geez, says 8, inching around 9's bulk. How long have you been standing here waiting for us? Aren't your feet tired?
We just went out for a bit, I explain, feeling more than a little timid around 9.
It reminds me of getting caught sneaking back into the orphanage after curfew, and I briefly picture 9 trying to take a ruler to my knuckles.
Is everything all right?
Everything's fine, snaps 9, focusing more on 8 than me.
You can't just go gallivanting around the city without telling me.
Why not? Counters 8.
Because it's bullshit, growls 9.
I can see his mind working, like he's trying to think of something else to say.
It's irresponsible and careless. It's stupid.
It was a couple of hours, complains 8, rolling his eyes.
Spare me this sapon lecture.
It's kind of funny to see 9 so enraged about us acting out of line, especially considering the stories I've heard 4 tell about their time together on the road.
Strangely, it's also endearing.
He puts on this big show of being this tough-as-nails loose cannon, but when he woke up to find us gone, he was actually concerned about us. I touch 9 on the arm, trying to defuse the situation.
I'm sorry we worried you.
Whatever, I wasn't worried, 9 snarls, jerking his arm away from me and rounding on 8 again.
You think that was a lecture?
Maybe I should show you the kind of lectures I used to get back when I was a cocky little dumbass. 8 wiggles his finger at 9, just egging him on further.
Most of the time, his joking around is charming. But this is one of those times when I'd wish he'd just cut it out.
9 steps right up to 8. They'd be nose to nose if 8 was a few inches taller. 8 doesn't back down, still smiling, like it's all just a goof.
Come on, says 9, his voice low. I've seen you in the lecture hall playing patty cake with 6. You ain't trained with me yet.
8 glances down at an imaginary watch.
Sure, dude. I've got time to kill.
9 smiles. He looks over his shoulder at me.
You too, Nurse Marina. Your boyfriend's gonna need you.
Chapter 9.
I'm going to whip you into shape, declares Nine. That way, the next time there's a mission, we won't be the ones left sitting on our asses. Eight and I stand in the lecture hall side by side, watching as Nine circles around us, sizing us up like some kind of army drill instructor. I feel like rolling my eyes, and I can tell Eight is barely suppressing a fit of laughter. Still, I do feel sort of guilty about basically sneaking out with Eight, and I'm sure a little training couldn't hurt. Plus, I think Nine is still bummed about being left out of Four's rescue mission, and he seems really into this whole training thing. I decide to humor him.
Unless you'd rather just be bench warmers. You want to hang out and go eat pizza while the rest of us kill Cetricus Raw?
Nine snarls as he stops in front of us, staring us down.
No, sir, I say, trying to be serious.
Eight immediately bursts out laughing. Nine ignores Eight for now, focusing instead on me. Healing and night vision. That's about it, huh?
I can breathe underwater, I add helpfully.
All right, says Nine, considering my legacies. Maybe you'll develop a good fighting legacy one day. Maybe you won't. We'd still all be dead if it wasn't for you, I guess. I know Johnny's supposed to have the healing thing now, too, but I think he only heals girls he's dating, so the rest of us still need you. Anyway, we'll need to practice your speed and agility, so that when one of us goes down, you'll be able to get to us. And maybe your healing will, like, evolve into something else if you practice with it enough.
To my surprise, most of what Nine says actually makes sense. Except one thing nags at me.
How are we going to practice my healing? Nine's smile is sinister. Something I'd be really afraid to see from across the battlefield.
Oh, you'll see. As for you, he continues, turning to Eight, I thought you were pretty badass when we first met, and then you took a sword to the chest first chance you got. Nice job.
Eight's expression darkens as he's reminded of his running in with Cetricus Raw.
He tricked me.
Uh-huh, says Nine.
Way I remember it, you were so focused with copying a feel, hugging, fake six, that you got stabbed.
You give a lot of hugs in the middle of a battle, bro?
Use your head.
It seems like you could use a hug right now, says Eight, grinning mischievously.
Before Nine knows what's happening, Eight shapeshifts into his four-armed Vishnu form, leaps forward, and wraps Nine up in a tight embrace. I can see the muscles in Nine's neck and shoulders tense as Eight squeezes him.
Let me go, warns Nine through gritted teeth.
You're the boss. Eight teleports, taking Nine with him. He reappears just inches away from the ceiling and releases Nine.
Disoriented, Nine doesn't have a chance to gather himself and crashes to the floor on his back. Before Nine even lands, Eight has teleported back to my side.
Ta-da! He says, reassuming his normal form.
You're just going to make him mad, I whisper.
Eight only shrugs.
Nine hops back to his feet and rolls his head from side to side, cracking his neck. He nods, looking almost impressed.
Pretty good move, he says.
Maybe I should be training you, quips Eight.
Try it again.
Shrugging, Eight shapeshifts again. He wraps Nine in the same hug, this time approaching warily as if he's expecting Nine to launch a counterattack.
I'm expecting the same thing, cringing as I wait for Nine to throw an elbow into Eight's face.
Surprisingly, Nine doesn't fight back at all.
Eight teleports them back to the ceiling again, but this time, when he's released from Eight's grasp, Nine quickly reaches his hand up to touch the ceiling. It makes me queasy just to watch. Nine's gravity shifting so that instead of falling to the floor, he's doing a handstand on the ceiling. It all takes no more than a second. Eight's already teleported away, reappearing back at my side. Just like Nine was expecting. Nine launches himself from the ceiling and, as soon as Eight materializes, Nine is plummeting towards him. Eight only has a moment to notice that Nine isn't lying on the floor where he expected him to be. The next thing he knows, Nine's foot is connecting with his sternum, sending him flying to the ground. Eight picks himself up onto his elbows, wheezing, the wind knocked out of him. Nine stands over him, his hands on his hips. "Predictable," Nine says. "Why would you teleport back to the same place?" In answer, Eight coughs, rubbing his chest. Nine reaches down and helps him to his feet. "It's all about surprise with you, man," Nine explains. "You gotta keep 'em guessing." Eight lifts up his shirt. There's a foot-shaped bruise already forming over his ribs. "Damn, that was like getting hit with a sledgehammer." "Thanks," says Nine, and looks at me. "Here's some practice for you." I place my hands gently on Eight's chest. The icy feeling of my legacy tingles in my fingertips, passing through me and into Eight. It's only a bruise, so it's easy. I don't even have to concentrate, which is good, because it's not that easy for me to concentrate while touching Eight's chest. If this is what training is going to be like, I could get used to it. "Thanks," says Eight, when I step back. On the other side of the room, Nine has grabbed one of the stuffed Mogadorian training dummies and dumped it on the ground. He stands over it, looking at us. "Okay, here's the game. We're going to pretend this dummy is, I don't know, number 4. He gets hurt all the time, right? So, he's wounded and, Marina, you need to get to him and work your magic. Eight, you're going to help her." "And what are you going to be doing?" I ask. "I'm going to be the surprisingly good-looking Mogadorian that's standing in your way." Eight and I exchange a look. 2-on-1, he says. "Sounds easy." "Cool," says Nine, extending his pipe staff and twirling it menacingly over his head. "Let's see what you got." Eight puts his arm around me, pulling me into a quick huddle. "He expects us to go right at him," he whispers. I nod, catching on to the plan quickly. "You should just teleport the body back to me." Eight holds his hand up to me for a quick high five, then spins back to face Nine. "Ready? Bring it on." Eight starts forward, and Nine stalks out to meet him in the center of the room. As soon as he's drawn Nine a few yards away from the dummy, Eight disappears, reappearing over the dummy. It's not that Nine doesn't notice what Eight's up to. He just doesn't care. He bounds a few steps forward, coming straight for me. Caught off guard and more than a little nervous with Nine charging me, I backpedal. Nine is far too quick for me. When Eight reappears with a dummy, Nine is standing with the tip of his staff pressed against the side of my neck. "Good job," he says to Eight. "Now you've got a wounded friend and a dead healer." I've never trained like this before, so Nine coming right at me felt really intimidating. I have to get over that feeling. I know Six wouldn't have just let Nine put that staff up to her throat. I need to prove to these boys that even though I don't have the offensive firepower they do, I can still fight back. With Nine distracted by Eight, I slap the point of his staff away from my neck. "Not dead yet," I say as I lunge forward and punch him in the mouth. Immediately,
A flare of pain courses through my hand and wrist.